I'll let Jeff get sat down real quick as he is walking over from her camera. If you are watching this morning on our YouTube page, it is the CB Sports Network Rewind Show brought to you by St. Anthony Regional Hospital, as well as here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. Casey Miners, Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon with you in the studio. And we've got a couple of guests that are going to join us throughout the day today for this Rewind Show. First, Tristan Gordon, thrower up at South Central Calhoun, a state qualifier this past season in the discus, and ended up going down and finishing fourth at the New Balance Nationals. It's an event with kids from all over the world and all over the country, and finishing fourth, pretty high regards, I would say, you know, everything coming out of there.
Yeah, we know how talented of a thrower she is. You know, we've watched her the last few years up at South Central Calhoun and watched her progress from being really good to really, really special. And nice to see that she, you know, now let people know, you know, around the nation, how talented of a thrower she is by going to a national event and having the success that she had here recently. So reached out to her and seen if she was available this morning. So let's go ahead and bring her in. Tristan, how are you today? And congratulations.
I'm good. Thank you.
You bet. Let's talk about, you know, to start with, you know, how you got into this event and what was the kind of the goal and the mindset for you going into this?
Yeah, so we kind of looked into it a little bit last year, but I wasn't able to compete last year because we didn't really know a whole lot about it. So this year I hit the standard like middle of the season. So that was exciting, and it kind of took the pressure off a little bit to actually hit the standard, because the standard to even go is 139, I believe, is what it ended at. So when I threw my PR, that was exciting, because then it was like, okay, I'm qualified. I can just have fun now. So then we went down, we went down the day before, and we just had to get checked in and everything. And then the next day we competed. And so there were, I believe, 40 girls that all competed. And so I was in the third flight, and I went in seated fifth. So I was excited to at least jump up a place, but on top of that, have a major PR. So that was really exciting, just to, and I wasn't nervous all day. I was like, you know, I made it here, and just have fun. And I think once I took that mental stress off, that's when I hit the big number, was because it wasn't an expectation anymore. It was because I wanted to have fun.
What was it like, Tristan, when you knew that you qualified for this, you know, national event? And do you remember qualifying it for it? And can you walk us through kind of what your emotions were and what you were going through?
Yeah, so throughout the whole season, I kind of built up, or like I stayed consistent in the 130s. And so that was really nice. And then once I started throwing 140s, that's when we're like, okay, like, we're good. And so it was at the ESAC meet when I threw my 149. And that was just like, that was already a huge PR. So I was like, so excited, wasn't expected. Just happened to be, I guess, the day for it. So then once I threw that PR, I was excited because I had improved, but then my coach was like, well, now we got that out of the way. Like, you're qualified. Like, let's just finish up the season. And then obviously the state meet did not go as planned. So then going into this meet, it was really just, I called it my redemption round, because I just wanted to prove to myself that, like, I don't have to scratch out of big meets. Like, I can do well at a big meet. And so it was really challenging, like, mentally. Sometimes I think I let my worries get in the way of my throwing. So I was really proud of how I handled the New Balance meet, and I think qualifying so soon helped to kind of reassure me that I already have a place. It's just a matter of improving to see where I then rank among the flights at the New Balance meet.
Tristan, you brought up the state meet not going as planned. What were some of the big keys and, you know, takeaways you took away from the state meet, you know, throwing the discus and then going to a national event like the New Balance and then having so much success?
I think the state meet, honestly, I think I just put a lot of pressure on myself, especially with how many eyes are on me. I think sometimes I get a little in my head. And so at the state meet, going in first, I felt very comfortable, but then you start scratching, and you're like, okay, like, how do we fix this? And so I think no matter how much I say it doesn't, I think the first scratch at a big meet like that, it does kind of get in your head a little bit. So I think, like, superficially, I was kind of panicking a little bit, but I'm happy that I didn't give up and I kept trying, although it was a very disappointing meet, especially when you're seated that far ahead. And I know I can do it. And so it was really just a learning experience in the way that I'm more than one meet. Like, this one bad meet, even though it's a big meet, doesn't change the fact that I've thrown far. Everyone saw my throws. They know that they weren't awful just because I scratched. So I think that was a really big mental turning point. I did cry for a long time afterwards, so it was definitely disappointing. But once I could look past right now and look to the future, I do think it really mentally strengthened me. And it was so cool getting to see the girl that was seated second get first. And she had a big PR. And so I was grateful that there was at least positives throughout the day, even though it was kind of a heavy day.
Tristan, it sounds very much like you used that experience at state this year to make you mentally tougher and probably now even a better thrower than you were before. Let's bounce back a little bit. You mentioned that you kind of heard about this, you know, national tournament a year ago. Were you looking to get yourself into these events, and that's how you found it? And how many different events out there were you trying to get in?
So I had kind of just, like, through, like, Instagram and whatnot, I saw that they were bigger meets. And then by the time I had actually, like, really looked into it, it was like, okay, they're in a different state. Like, you have to qualify for them. So then over the summer, we kind of planned for the next summer. And so the only bummer is there's Nike Outdoor Nationals, New Balance Outdoor Nationals, and Adidas Outdoor Nationals. And they put them all on the same weekend. And so I really think they just do that for the marketing of it, just to see who can get the most kids. So that's unfortunate that they all kind of overlap. But I think we had just decided on New Balance, just from what we've seen. And I think next year maybe we would do Nike, but we just decided to do New Balance for this year over in Philly. So we looked into it and we're like, okay, here's the standard. And so then up until probably about like April, it was really more so about hitting the number. And then once I got the number, we were like, okay, we need to start booking flights. We need to all the little stuff. But yeah, so it just kind of, it's a bummer that they do all the national meets at one time, because I would really like to participate in all of them.
You mentioned this one was out at Philly. Did you get a chance to spend some time out there, tour? Had you ever been to Philadelphia before?
I had never been before, but we went up 2 days before. So like Tuesday was our travel day, and then Wednesday we had to go to the track to get checked in and everything. And then we stayed 2 days after and then traveled home on a Sunday. So we got to really see all the different parts of Philly, which was really nice. We walked around quite a bit. One of the days, I think we walked like almost like 10 miles just from exploring and seeing a bunch of different stuff. So it was really nice to also have a little vacation out of it, and that kind of helped take off some of the stress of it being a big meet.
You mentioned, Tristan, when we were talking before you got on, that this summer's been pretty much, you know, work and training and stuff like that. How good was it to kind of take a break and get to, you know, travel and go to a big event like that? And then the next part is, you know, what is it looking like now that you're doing all these national, and you did this national event, you know, how does that ramp you up for this next coming season?
Yeah, so this summer, I think even just not having school is a relief in itself. Even though I am busy in the summer, like, it's fine because I don't have school. But I always enjoy when I can get out and get away and just kind of, it's a nice reset, especially when I'm still doing something I love, like track, but I'm able to do it in a different environment and against different people that I don't know. And then, yeah, so like national meets, like this meet really made me excited for like next year. Now being like seated, I think first or almost first in Iowa, it gives me a lot of hope. And especially looking into colleges, I'm hoping that it makes a big impact when colleges are also looking at me.
And Tristan, I know you've thrown at Drake a couple of years now, but talk about the venue over in Philadelphia. You know, what'd you like about it, and kind of what did it look like for a thrower over there?
Yeah, so the way they had it, it was the Penn facilities. So the ring was, I'd say, a pretty standard ring. And, like, I think it wasn't set up to where it looked like a big meet. So that was kind of nice because you don't have, like, hundreds of people everywhere. So that was definitely a relief because since people are coming from out of state, you don't have, like the big groups of families. So it was a little less of a crowd, which was kind of nice for a big meet, which I know not all big meets are going to be like that. But it does take off some of the stress when it's not like, oh, there's millions of people here. But there were some college coaches there, so that was a little nerve-wracking. But I think, honestly, I was so just kind of in the zone, like ready to throw and have a good time, that I didn't really let them bother me a whole lot.
Take me through your throws. I know your last throw was the one that clinched you the fourth place. How did you feel like you threw up until then?
Yeah, so my first throw was like a 142, which is pretty like a good starting point. And then I threw a PR right off the bat with a 149 and more inches than what I had. And then I threw another PR right at the 150 area. And then my, I think my first throw in finals was my 154. That just really got me excited. And so my last two throws were only like 147. But like, again, it's exciting to be consistent at the higher numbers. And although I might not hit a big number multiple times, I'm hitting what I wished I, like, my old goals are now what I'm consistent at. And so that's always exciting, especially seeing that through the season. Like, my goal was coming in to throw 140 at the beginning of junior year. And so I was consistent at 130s, which is what my goal was sophomore year. So then it's like, then I hit 140, and then I was consistent at 140, and now I got my 150. And so it's really cool to just see, like, the progression of it, and even, like, the meets that I scratch out of, like, usually I come back with a good throw. And so it's really just a game of progression.
You mentioned, Tristan, that like Nike and Adidas and New Balance, all those, you know, outdoor events are the same weekend. Any other events you're going to try to get to this summer to really, you know, help strengthen your throwing and to get to see some healthy competition before the season rolls around?
Last year I did the USATF series and I really enjoyed that series. Unfortunately, the state meet you have to qualify for the next meet. So the starting meet, which is the state level, was actually the same weekend as the New Balance. So because I missed that, I wasn't able to compete at regionals. So other than that, we're kind of looking around for some meets, but other than like a lot of the big ones are around the same time. So it's just really hard to find top quality meets or really even any meets at all. So we've definitely been keeping our eyes out and trying to find what we can. It's just a little scarce, especially trying to find somewhere to throw hammer. It's just not a lot of opportunity other than top-level meets.
Tristan, I'm assuming one of the fun things about the meet there in Philadelphia, you know, you're there to compete. You want to beat everybody you're throwing against, but your generation does such a great job, I think, of getting in to know people and talking to people. How many friends did you create from all over while you were there?
That is honestly, I think, my favorite part of the sport is just, everyone is there for the same purpose, and everyone is always so friendly. Right away, there was a girl I ran into, and she's actually from Illinois. And so, like, right off the bat, I think we even met standing by the porta potty. So just, like, everyone's so talkative that, like, you say hi, and then you're best friends. And so she actually got second. And so I didn't know, she was really worried. And so she was like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm going to do so bad. And then she threw her first throw, and I was like, girl, you're worried? Like, but it's just a really cool environment when you can not know someone and still support them and wish all the best for them. And that's what I love about big meets is everyone's talented. Everyone deserves to be here. And then really it's just all about competing and how the day goes. But, like, there was the girl that went in seated first. She didn't have the best day. But, like, everyone was rallied behind her and supporting her. And, like, it's not about the numbers necessarily, but she got there. Like, she deserved it just as much as anyone else.
Tristan, you mentioned a little bit ago about trying to find meets that allow you to throw the hammer. Is that something you're looking to do at in the college level? And how much, you know, do you have experience of throwing the hammer and stuff like that?
Yeah, I would love to throw hammer in college. And I think because I learned it so early, even though I might not be the best at it, not many athletes go into college knowing how to throw hammer. So that is definitely something that I'm very happy about, that I do have some experience, so that way I can progress in college. And then we've been throwing a little bit this summer, hoping to pick up more now that the meet is out of the way and not doing a whole lot. But I had two meets on a Saturday and a Sunday a couple weeks before New Balance, hoping to qualify hammer for New Balance. And unfortunately, I was like 2 meters short. But any meet is a good meet just to compete. So it was nice to just throw the hammer in a competitive setting, even though I didn't make it for New Balance. So we just practice here and there and just kind of keep up with it. And I'm hoping that towards the end of summer, when things kind of calm down a bit, we can really get it to go far and maybe even hopefully find a meet to just see how things are going.
Tristan, I'm not for sure if you're aware that you might have, you know, some kind of a resource not too far away from you there with the hammer throw in college. I don't know if you know who Danielle Hoyle is, but she was a Peyton Cerdan grad probably about 5 or 6 years ago. She went to Iowa State and made all Big 12 throwing the hammer. Maybe somebody you could look up and reach out to, and I'm sure she's a great young lady like you, that she'd probably be willing to give you some tips on what it's like to throw at that level and the things that might be able to help you out some. So another young lady that didn't throw a hammer through high school, just threw the discus, ended up winning a state championship at Peyton Cerdan her senior year in the disc, and then that turned into being a great hammer thrower over at college.
That's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard her name before. What was her first name?
Danielle Hoyle. I can send you her number if you would like me to.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome for her. And, like, to be able to pick up hammer and then compete it at that level is amazing. Just because a lot of girls, like, they don't learn it till college. And then to see that much progression in such a short amount of time is really awesome.
Well, Tristan, I tell you what, congratulations. This was a lot of fun getting a chance to catch up with you. We know that you're a special thrower. We see that every year. And we appreciate you joining us here today. Congratulations. And we'll see you again here soon.
Yes, sounds good. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Again, that was Tristan Gordon with the South Central Calhouns track team, finishing fourth at the national event there in Philadelphia for the New Balance. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We got another guest joining us coming up next here on KCIM Sports Rewind.
Hi, my name is Taya Vanami, nurse practitioner at Manning Recovery Center. The opioid crisis affects families, workplaces, and entire communities. Prevention starts with education, responsible prescribing, and proper medication use. Ask questions, follow directions, dispose of unused prescriptions safely. Together, we can reduce misuse and support those in need. And if you need help, reach out to the Manning Recovery Center or your local Narcotics Anonymous. In the Carroll, Lake City, Audubon, and Manning area, it's MANA, Members Area of Narcotics Anonymous. This message is brought to you by the Carroll County Opioid Settlement Fund Committee, committed to opioid awareness and prevention in our community.
Summer in Iowa goes fast, so let's make it count. Carroll Broadcasting is bringing you Adventureland Summer Bucket List. We want to hear what's on your summer bucket list. Is it thrill rides at Adventureland?
I can't wait to hit the theme parks.
A ball game with the iCubs? Weekend road trips, fairs, food, and fun?
Got me riding on your roller coaster.
Tell us what you're dreaming up to do this summer, and you could win tickets to Adventureland, iCub games, and more. That's right, more. Because we could be adding new prizes all summer long. It's your summer, your bucket list, and your chance to win big. Enter now at carolbroadcasting.com and get ready to check off your best summer ever with 1380 KCIM, 93.7 KKRL, and KICK 106.7.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. Casey Miners, Mason Nealon, Jeff Blankman in studio with you guys. We're also joined with Lucas Deal, a Kemper High student right now, but ended up winning a national championship, if I remember correctly, a junior national championship. And Lucas, that's got to be a pretty big accomplishment for you. I know that you've been doing is it do they call it powerlifting, or is
this
it like
Olympic lifting?
Is that so? I know you've been doing it for a while now, and you're really working hard on trying to get that a national championship, and you get it at the junior level. How does that feel? Kind of getting that accomplished.
It's very surreal. My coach hasn't ever actually had a junior national champion that he's trained. So in over 20 years of coaching people, he hasn't had a junior champion. He's had, I want to say, 20 normal youth national champions, somewhere around that number, mm-hmm. but he's never had one at the junior level. So being able to finally accomplish that for him was awesome.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine it was a great accomplishment and everything like that. Where did you have to go, for that event? Was it, held here in Iowa? Did you have to travel for it? And what was it like?
We were over in Colorado Springs.
Was it?
Yeah. It's been Colorado Springs the last 2 years. And 3 years ago, it was in Pittsburgh. And then the year before that, it was Colorado Springs also. I think they're keeping it there probably because the training center is there for the Olympic team.
Yeah.
Is convenient. It's closer to the middle of the United States. Easy for everyone to get to.
As Casey said, you've competed in these for a number of years now through the youth and now into the junior nationals. What do you think was the difference for you this year? I know a lot of it's the hard work you put in every day to keep getting better, but what was the difference for you this year, do you think?
I don't really know if there was any difference. I think it was more just the consistency that I've always had. 5 days a week, every week, for probably 4 or 5 years, something like that. So just the consistency that I've had.
And so I got to ask you here. I went out to Colorado Springs over the summer recently here and went on a tour, and they talk about a lot of the Olympic athletes go out there to train because that's kind of where you're going to be at. So did you have to go out there earlier to train and kind of get acclimated with the elevation and all that type of stuff, or did you kind of know what you were walking into?
Well, I knew what I was walking into, but because I knew, we've always gone early because we've been up there a couple of times. We went one time before my first national championship, that was probably when I was 10. So we already knew elevation change would hit us all pretty hard. So I've always tried to get there at least 2 days early to start the acclimation. But this year, my little sister was there. She lifted on Sunday, and I lifted on Thursday. So I was there for almost a week. So I was able to be used to it more than I had been before. But I still had those boost oxygen things. Mm-hmm. So I, just in case for when I'm lifting, because it's a lot of breath holding and stuff to stabilize your core and everything. So afterwards, just a hit of oxygen is very helpful.
Do you think being out there a little extra time this year really helped you, in claiming that national championship?
I don't really think so. I think it was more excitement. I'm almost an adrenaline junkie when it comes to that kind of thing. I lift better in front of a big crowd. Greg says that's a sign of a good lifter, and because some people lift better in the gym, I lift way better in front of people. I think in training I might have hit 155 kilos, and there I hit 177, which is 390 pounds.
Yeah.
So like I said, adrenaline junkie, pretty much.
I've got to tell you, I've been to Greg's gym to watch you lift before. If you're telling me you lift better in front of people than you do just in Greg's gym, I'm even more impressed than I was before, because it's impressive watching you train over at Greg's. Take me through that 177-kilo lift, though. I've got it here. Greg sent me the video. I've got it here, so I've watched it. But he says 394 pounds, 177 kilos. So the mindset, what goes through your mind to lift something like that?
Rage, I guess. I just try to get myself as mad as possible when I'm lifting. I don't really know how to explain it. Like getting in the zone, I guess. My mind's almost blank just thinking about the lifting. I don't know what else to say, really. I don't really think about anything. I knew I could do it. I've never done that weight before, but, like, I just knew I could do it. Like, it's just such a... I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't know how to... I just had so much adrenaline. Like, I've just felt so good. I knew I could do it.
And so talk to me about, you know, the lifts itself. When did you get it? When did you know that you were going to be a national champion?
I didn't know, honestly, because even during the lift, you don't know until after it's fully completed because there's judges. They're the ones who tell you whether you make the lift or not. I thought I would, after the lift, like right away, it felt super good. I didn't feel like I pressed out at all. It felt like I'd made the lift, but once you see the board and it pops up with the three green or three white lights, that's when I knew, because that's the time I knew I won. That's the three white lights tells you the lift is good.
You waited to the last lift, by the way, and stuff. You've battled with this young man from Georgia. I don't know his name now for years.
Madden Moniz.
I knew you would know it. You beat him by, you know, 1 kilo.
He's beaten me by 1 kilo. I've beaten him by 1 kilo a couple times. It's gone back and forth. Well, not really. He's beat me once. I've beaten him 3 times. So, like, it's kind of back and forth.
Yeah. When you get to face a kid like that, you know, can push you in a way. Are you good friends with him? Do you know him pretty well? And yeah, stuff like that, getting to compete with guys all the time?
It kind of sucked in Pittsburgh because I was using the idea of him to fuel my rage. But then I was talking to him in Pittsburgh, and I realized he's actually a good guy. So it kind of sucked because I couldn't use him to get mad anymore. But he's a really good kid. I'm friends with him.
Yeah. What are some of the places you've gotten to visit, you know, doing this? You know, because you mentioned you get to go to Colorado Springs, Pittsburgh. What are some of your favorite places you've gotten to lift at and some of the places you've gotten to see, you know, getting to be, you know, an Olympic weightlifter?
Pretty much I've only been able to see Colorado Springs because that's where it's been most of the time that I've been lifting. Then Pittsburgh, obviously. And then this March I went to the Arnold, which is in Columbus, Ohio. So those are the places I've gone to with it. I was going to go to Florida for, what is it called? Like the Virus Open or something. I don't remember what it's called exactly. But I didn't get to go to that because it was right after football season, and we won state, so like,
yeah.
I wasn't training like at all. But I have to say Colorado Springs. I love the mountains.
Yeah.
You also had a PR in the snatch the other day at this 308 pounds or 140 kilos. Take me through for you the difference on how you mentally kind of get yourself ready, if there's a difference, you know, in both of those different kind of lifts.
So, like, I still get mad, but I can't get as mad because the snatch is a lot more technique. Mm-hmm. Maybe 1 or 2 degrees of difference can cause you to miss. And with 140 or 308, I've probably missed it like 6 times before that. I was stuck on that weight for over a year, or about a year now. And finally getting that was like, I could have cared less if I won or not at that point. Like, I was waiting for that for so long and trying to get it for so long. Finally making that lift pretty much made the whole trip for me.
So let's talk a little bit about, you're going to go play some college football, and we're going to set up an interview with you to talk about that decision at a different date. We'll get that posted to our College Corner on the website. But you got into this, I think, in a way because you liked to lift, but it's also benefited you on the football field. You're shaking your head yes already. Talk about what this kind of lifting, whether it be with the school or for the guys that go and lift with Greg, because I know you're not the only one. How does this type of lifting benefit you guys on the football field so much?
This kind of lifting strengthens your whole body instead of just choosing like one section for the day. This trains arms, legs, core every time. Your back also, like, you have to have your core is pretty much the whole center of this lifting because it's how you get stabilized, and strengthening your legs, like, all of these parts are what's needed for football, like, especially your lower body. That's, like, where your power comes from. It's the most important part of your body to strengthen for most sports, and this strengthens it so well. Like, I don't know of many other guys in high school that are squatting 500. I mean,
yeah.
So like, it helps with football a ton.
What has, you know, been your, you know, besides training, you know, this summer that you're doing, you know, obviously getting ready for football season coming up, it'll be here, you know, gosh, before we know it, you know, in August and everything like that. Any more events you're going to this summer besides the national championships that you were down at, and then what's, you know, the rest of the summer going to be like training wise for you?
I don't think there's going to be any other competitions. There might be one local meet, but I highly doubt it. Pretty much from now on, I'm going to be lifting with Greg a little bit. He's going all over the United States to hang out with family. So he's going to, I think he said he's leaving on the 11th, coming back in late July. So I don't really know how much lifting I'll be able to get in with him. I hope he has some workouts for me.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive. But other than that, I'm going to be working out with the school.
Yeah.
And I know Jeff kind of talked about this. We'll dive more in depth when we talk about, you know, going to college here. But going to play college football, I mean, how big is it that you are a national champion weightlifter? You can move a ton of weight. I mean, do coaches just love to see that on a, you know, kind of college resume as a college athlete?
I haven't really seen anything about that, actually, which is kind of weird. The only school that has seemed to love it as much as I do is NDSU, which is where I chose to go. They have their strength coach for the past, the one before now, Kramer, trained under the current Olympic head coach, and the current one trained under one of the Olympic coach, like, assistants. She was my contact with Team USA. Her name is Jackie Black. So Ryan Napoli, who's their strength coach right now, trained under her. So they're like the only school that I've really talked to that does all the Olympic lifts like I want to.
I know you had an opportunity last football season, but that state championship meant a lot, and you wanted to be a part of it to go do some Olympic and be a part of that stuff. Is that still a goal for you, even though college football is in the future for you right now?
It definitely is. If at all possible, like if I don't get hurt in football, I'm going to take it as far as I can. And then after that, I'm going to try to remake Team USA. Go back. Hopefully I can make the Olympics, but that's pretty unlikely, but there's obviously a chance.
Question for you here, Lucas. You were in the NDSU hat. We've talked about it a couple of times going up to play at North Dakota State. Was there training in the Olympic lifts that you like to do? Was that one of your main factors of choosing them?
Absolutely. If the school doesn't do any Olympic lifts or very few, there's no way I'm going. Like, no amount of money could make me go there.
Yeah.
To bring it up, sorry about it, but Iowa State, they only do clean pulls, which is just like a lift off the ground and shrug.
Yeah.
The strength coach there said, like, they're worried about wrist injuries with cleans, so they just don't do them. They don't do any kind of Olympic lift, so no amount of money could bring me to Iowa State unless they change the strength program.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks because they're the closest school, but the Olympic lifting has made me such a good player. I don't want to get rid of it. Yeah. I don't want to change what I've done to get me here.
Mm-hmm. I get that 100%. Yeah.
When you talk to the football coaches, and you don't have to go into depth with all of who you've talked to, but is that like the first question that you have is the type of lifting that they do?
Yeah. If not the first, it's the second pretty much. It is so important to me because it's gotten me here. I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah. Lucas, I want to say congratulations on the national championship. We don't see that very often. I think since I've been taking over for the mornings, you're the first person we've talked to that's won an Olympic, you know, weightlifting junior national championship. I know I couldn't do it. So I'm happy at least somebody here is able to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lucas, congratulations, man. I've enjoyed kind of watching you come up through Greg's program there, and I know this isn't the first time you've come in, so thanks for the time that you give us, and tell Greg I say hi when you get a chance to talk to him. I'll text him here in a little bit anyway, but thanks for coming in. Congratulations, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you.
That was Lucas Deal. Just went into Junior National Olympic Weightlifting Championship. We'll step away, take a break. We'll talk some local sports when we come back here on the CBS Sports Network Rewind Show.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Breida's Independence Celebration is this Saturday at the Breida Memorial Park starting at 5:30. Then it's the fireworks display, sponsored by Breida Feed and Grain, Independent Inputs, Toy and Fire, Move It Company, Al's Corner, Western Iowa Networks, Breida Savings Bank, Tiefenthaler Ag Lime, Bruning Oil, and the Litterdale Country Store.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It is the CB Sports Network Rewind Show this morning for you here on a KCIM. And Jeff, Mason asked you if you ever trained with Greg before, or if you I can't remember what he first asked, and you said before you got big. I can just imagine you and Lucas trying to train together, and you like, man, how's he pushing that much weight?
Yeah, no, I was nowhere near the weight that Lucas was doing. I honestly. I trained with Greg for the second year that I ever ran across the state of Iowa as part of Relay Iowa. I had run the first year because Coach Brian Case had asked me to join their relay team to do that. And, you know, you got to run about 40 miles in less than 24 hours. And for, you know, people that run a lot, that might not be a lot. Marathoners, I was not one of those people at that time. So I was trying to figure out a way to get my whole body, like you know, Lucas said, in shape. And you know, I talked to Greg because I'd been out there to watch him train a lot of our area athletes that he's trained over the years, and I would just stop in and visit with him. Knowing Greg when he was with the sheriff's office years ago before he retired from there, and you know, we got to talking. He's like, I can work your whole body. I can get your condition. I can get your legs where you need. So we actually kind of developed a program for me to be able to work on my stamina and the ability. I would go out and run a little bit, but I was only running about a mile and a half a day. But most of the training I did for, you know, 6 months or whatever it was lifting at Greg's to get myself in shape. And that was probably one of my best relays. I did it four times where I ran across the state, and one of the best ones I had was because of, you know, the workout that, that Greg gave me. So the problem was I became a diehard runner after that, and I started running all of the time. And, you know, so that's how I trained after that. But I credit Greg with, you know, helping me get across the state of Iowa.
Yeah, so, he's helped a lot of athletes in the area, you know, especially looking at the baseball and softball postseason going to be here coming up on Friday for baseball. We've got a pretty good softball game going on tonight. Carroll and Kemp are both going to be in action for baseball and softball. I don't even know where to start. We've had so much stuff going on the last week with baseball and softball that it's been a kind of hectic, you know, just getting ready for the postseason.
Let's start with Coon Rapids Baird baseball. Mason got a chance. He went down to Oneida, his first experience in the wonderful town of Oneida. I always enjoyed Joe Wollum down there as the AD, and a really good guy, and you know, always makes it worth coming down. And they've got some really nice facilities down there. And Mason's like, I didn't have him scheduled to broadcast anything last night, and he kind of, what'd you do, ask if you could go down to Oneida? And I'm like, I'm never going to tell you you can't go watch somebody play, but you got to see Coon play really, really well.
Yeah, and I kind of joked, I'm like, you know, for a team that's ranked number one in the state that we cover, I hadn't seen them play all year because I had their game earlier in the year but then had a vacation, so I kind of gave that game up and got to see them last night. And, man, I tell you what, the wind was miserable, but it made it so fun. I mean, there was, if you hit the ball and had any power, it was gone. I mean, Cal Hayden, 3-1 count, first at bat, hits a pop fly that's maybe 200 feet, and it gets sailed right over the fence. And he comes over to the dugout after and walks to the edge of the dugout, and I'm standing there, and he looks at me and he goes, yeah, that's not gone normally. He goes, without the wind, that's not gone. But then he decides to make up for it. They leave a hanging curve over the middle, and he takes it probably 400, 410 over the right field or over the center field wall and hits a grand slam. And so then their coach pulls the plug and says, we're not throwing him another pitch the rest of the night. They intentionally walk him two more times. And then Mason Culbertson had one that was probably close to 400 over the left field wall, which was impressive because the wind was blowing towards the right field wall. So he was able to do that. I know Cole Kretzinger pitched pretty well. And it was just kind of fun to watch them play so relaxed. I mean, it was almost like you're going in the backyard and having your dad or your mom pitch to you, and you know, you just swing freely there. It was fun to watch them play.
And both of Cal's home runs came in the first inning.
Yeah.
I mean, they went through the entire lineup almost a time and a half, so that makes it pretty easy. But yeah, and at the same time, they win an outright conference title, and Cal said he thinks probably 4 years straight now that either outright won it or been a part of a conference title, and that just kind of speaks to how dominant, you know, John Waddell's teams have been with Cal Hayden, and now with three Haydens on the same team, and four if you count assistant coach John Hayden as well. So, yeah, they're a great ball club.
And you said that Cal made a comment to Lisa Waddell last night, you know, that final potential road game, you know, of his career in a Crusader jersey. It's hard to believe. I always kind of jokingly tell the story that when he was an eighth grader, of course, he was runner-up for our Rewind Player of the Year at that point as an eighth grader, and got invited to our Rewind event that we're going to be hosting again July the 16th. I just want to throw that plug out there. But we're doing our home run derby, and we're using real softballs for the first time. And I'm standing out in the outfield because I usually count the home runs and keep track of the points because we have a point system for our tiebreaker, as you guys know. And I've got some of the Kemper softball girls standing behind me as they're, you know, shagging the balls that come out and everything. And he's launching softball after softball over on the Merchants Park. And one of them says, who's that? And I said, that's Cal Hayden from Coon Rapids Baird. And they're like, how old is he? And I said, nah, he's in eighth grade. And they're like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah, he's just in eighth grade. But, you know, yeah, it's hard to believe. The reason why I was telling that story, 5 years has gone really, really fast.
Really fast.
And now all of a sudden he's going to be heading off to Iowa Western to, you know, play baseball in college and everything. And it's been fun, but it's been a fast 5 years.
One of the best athletes that I've got the privilege of covering.
Yep.
Yeah, in my time, you know, being in sports and stuff like that, and it's been a fast 5 years. You know, I felt like down there, but hey, you still got Ty. Ty's still down there.
Yep.
And I don't think
Blake, and Eli and coming up through. Yep. And
so if you for the teams out there that think just because Cal's going away, hey, we got some bad news for you. There's going to be some more coming through, but they're just phenomenal athletes, and even, you know, John and his wife, terrific people too.
Yeah, they're so nice. Mm-hmm. you know, they're so wonderful of people. They always make sure that everything's taken care of. And, you know, if by chance that not everything's perfect, you know, the way they want it to be, they apologize, which they never have to do because we appreciate every little thing that they do. It's one of my favorite places to go and favorite things to cover is that because of how nice they are down there. But Mason, what else stands out for you here in the last, you know, few days or last week with baseball that you've seen?
The postseason's out. I mean, the trip to Merchants Park or for Carroll, I can't remember where they hold 3A. You'll have to remind me. They switched it a couple of times in the last couple of years. But everyone's path to a state title appearance or a state championship's out. So at this point now, I think that's kind of where everyone's gearing up for. And I think that's what we're gearing up for is Friday, getting ready for the postseason, which, you know, fun to have it right before the 4th of July weekend, but we'll deal with it there. So, you know, it'll be fun. We've got plenty of teams playing on Friday. We've got some teams opening up next Tuesday as well. I still believe we're waiting for Carroll's assignment, yep. So we'll figure that one out a little bit later. But, yeah, for both baseball and softball, we kind of know what the paths are going to be for some of our teams.
Yeah, and softball-wise, anything? I know the pairings are out there, too. They've been out for a little longer. But, you know, what stood out for you this week, you know, on the softball diamonds?
Kemper's played some really good softball. I know over the weekend you got to see him. I got to see the baseball tournament. You got to see the softball tournament. I think 2-0 is what yep. you had typed up there. I know last night they played Glenwood. In a very good game there as well. But I think tonight's going to be the big one. I mean, for me at least, you know, we talk about Exira's played 2A teams all year. They've been playing the Riversides, the Lomas. Tonight, we get to see them against a team that could very much so be a team they see down in Fort Dodge if they get down there. So I think that for me, tonight's going to be a big one for our 1A schools. But, you know, I mean, everyone's playing some really good softball down the stretch.
Yeah, the Exira Okern Kimbolden Spartans ranked number 2. We've all kind of sat back. I think even Coach Peterson sometimes has gone, okay, we lost this week, but it was to a highly ranked 2A yep. team as a 1A team, and they've been in every one of those games with the chance to win. A lot of those losses coming in the, you know, the bottom of the 7th. And last week they lost to Missouri Valley, who I think was 3rd at the time in 2A, and they ended up losing 3-1. I know when I talked to Coach Peterson yesterday about it during our weekly interview, he's like, you know, if you were a fan of softball, you would have really enjoyed that game. There was no errors, really good pitching. You know, I know Missouri Valley hit, you know, I think a couple of dingers, if I remember right. But he goes, those were really good pitches. He goes, they were right where you wanted them to be. And he goes, sometimes that happens in softball, yep. just like it does in baseball. You make a good pitch and the hitter just makes a better swing, and that's what happened. But they ended up falling in that one 3-1. But, you know, bounce back, got a nice win over a really well-coached Earlham team to end the week, and, you know, started off this week with a win over at Woodbine last night. So, yeah, I'm excited for the softball playoffs. They get underway on Monday. Baseball playoffs get underway on Friday. And the only thing for me is it's hard to believe that we're pretty much at the 4th of July and how fast summer goes.
Yeah.
After we get through the 4th of July. So
yeah, and talking about the Kemper baseball team, I turned around and Nathan Cohn says Griffin Bauer and Charlie May all sitting in the studio yeah. right behind us. But yeah, that was a fun tournament, honestly, this weekend with Kemper baseball. So hats off to Spencer. They're a really good team. Woodbine looked good. Got to see some of their premier athletes they got. But yeah, I think the big thing now is just getting ready for the postseason if you're a team. And I know some teams still play this week, so good luck to all of our local teams that play this week.
And congrats to Arweva last night earning their first victory of the season in a blowout win. Scoring, I think it was 13 runs, if I remember right.
They put
13 runs on the board in the first inning to win up at Siouxland Christian. So we knew that win was coming. So congratulations to Jordan Buss and the Arweva girls.
Yeah, I also want to mention two big matchups tonight on the baseball and softball diamonds that will be broadcasting on the air tonight. It's a crosstown rivalry in both baseball and softball.
Yep.
Carroll and Kemper are going to be in action here in town tonight.
Yep, Nick's got the baseball game on Kick. I've got the softball game on KKRL. Mason's got the Newell Fonda, Exira Okern Kimbolden Audubon softball game on our YouTube channel. So we've got three different coverages for you tonight.
Yeah, check all of those out. You can check a podcast of this coming up in just moments. Also, if you want to check out where everything's going to be out throughout the rest of the week, again, check us out at sports.1380kcim.com. That'll wrap up the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you on this Tuesday. Check out a podcast of it in just moments.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM Carroll. Broadcasting from the Wild Rose Casino.